We are close to Purim, so we will leave the Parsha for this week and discuss Inyana D'Yoma. I want to discuss a halacha that many people know about, they hear about, but maybe are not aware of the particulars, and that is that some people know that the Shulchan Aruch tells us that on Purim, any damages that a person causes in the Simcha of Purim, not necessarily because the person is drunk, but in the process of the Simcha of Purim, you're not responsible to pay. This is brought in two places in the Shulchan Aruch, again in the Choshen Mishpat. So I want to discuss the background to this halacha. Does it apply nowadays? How does it apply? And what do we walk away with, hopefully, not lemaisa for anyone, everyone should be under control, this coming Purim, but how does this halacha play out? So first let's begin in general with the halachas pertaining to shikur hamazik, one who is drunk who causes damage in general. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Chovah Lamazik in Perek Aleph, Ada mu'ad la'olam, a person is always responsible for his actions. There's no such thing as a person hurting somebody b'shogeg by accident, not being held responsible. Bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, whether it's done by accident or on purpose, bein ar, bein yashin, whether you are awake or asleep, bein shikor, whether a person is drunk. So there's no exclusion that a person should not be responsible for actions in the laws of damages because he was drunk. There is no defense in court. And this is cited without dispute by the Yamshal Shlomo, Bava Kama, and Rabbi Akiva Eger, the Pisrei Chosha, and all the posts cite this without question that a person who is drunk is not exempt from any damage. And the Tshuva Sabach, which we'll return to a number of times, writes in Simon Sanach Beis, that such a person would be responsible to pay for all four damages of Ripoy and Nezek and Boshas and all those things. That's for all different types of damage. Now, why exactly is a drunk person responsible for his actions at the end of the day? He could claim that I wasn't aware of what I was doing. I was not, at that time, true, I shouldn't have gotten to that point. But at that time, I was not of the right mind. A person who's not a bar das, a person who doesn't have proper understanding, wouldn't be responsible for his actions. So the Chavos Yair, Rav Yair Bachak writes in his tshuva in Siman Kuf Samech Tes, and he explains in a lengthy tshuva that Adamu Ad La'olam, this is the rule. No, the rule is no matter what a person does, he's always responsible for actions that come directly from his hand. And therefore, the case is a guest who is in a hotel. And the guest drank and got drunk, and he fell asleep. And in the course of falling asleep, there was a candle in the room that was not extinguished. And the candle, because he wasn't watching it, knocked over and burnt everything down in the room or the hotel, whatever it was. So the Chavos Yair says he's responsible. He should have been responsible for the candle. And getting drunk was not an excuse to not take care at that time. Now, the nafka min is going to be ones gamur. That's going to be the nafka min in this case. Let's say a person is drunk, but an act of God occurs that's totally out of his control. And would that make him less responsible? So here you have Machlokas, the Ramban, and the Shach. Says the Adam Amazik is still chayiv in a case of Onus Gamor. Tosa says they're not chayiv. So that's the machlokas that's going after right now. The second reason here is from the Bach himself. The Bach writes, Shestam b'nei Adam yodim mash osim. Before we get to that one, that's the third reason. The Bach gives the second reason. The Bach's reason is that a shikr is chayiv because he's poshea gamor. The Yamshul Shomo explains that if a shikr wasn't chayiv, now, whenever a person hates his neighbor, what would you do? Your neighbor doesn't trim his hedges, right? And it drives you nuts. So your neighbor, you know, never takes care of the lawn, and it drives you crazy. So what do? You knock back a few shots, you take your weed whacker, you go into his lawn, and you take care of it. And you say, oh, sorry, I was drunk, I didn't know what I was doing. So says the Yamshul Shlomo, you can't ever use that as a defense, because in court, it would knock out any type of liability ever, because every single time you wanted to hurt someone, what would you do? You would knowingly get drunk, and therefore you're considered poshea, because you put yourself in that situation in the first place that caused you to act in an irresponsible way. The Maaser Kach writes in the Rambam, he started out in the first mistake by getting drunk. Who told you to get drunk and go and do something like that? The third reason is, as we see from the Bach again, the Bach says that in reality, a drunk person knows what they're doing when they're drunk. They have some capability, understanding of what's going on. Shestam b'nei adam yodim masha osim b'shikrosan. Most drunks have an awareness of what they're doing. B'shikrosan ve'einam ne'eman. They're not believed to say afilu b'shvu, even under oath. Shlo yada masha asa. They didn't know what they were doing. As b'shikruso kevin shemilso lo shchichahu. But tzarech lahevi raya. You'd have to bring a proof. How could you show you know what you were doing? People damage all the time. You would have to show in court that you were unaware of what your actions were. How are you going to do that? Because you were drunk? Anybody could pretend that they're going to be drunk. And therefore he says, we always assume a drunk has an idea, has a concept of what he's doing. So these are the three reasons why a shikr is always going to be chai. So now that raises the question, how could the Shulchan Aruch say that a shikr, on Purim, is not going to be held liable for damages?
Is a person liable for, I don't know the answer, is a person liable for damages when he doesn't bar mitzvah?
Ah, so not necessarily the bar mitzvah. We have, for example, the person who's running on Erev Shabbos, and he's running to get home on Erev Shabbos, and he runs over somebody, so the halacha in the Gemara on Shabbos is that he's not chayav. Because he's
for the sake of mitzvah.
But it's not really for the sake of mitzvah. It has something, we're going to get to that in a second. So let's first begin with the Gemara. The Gemara in Sukkah tells us, on the last day of Sukkot, after everyone was finished with the Dal Minim, Miyan Tinokos Shomtin Esluvehem V'Ochlin Esrogehem. The people would take, seemingly, from the hand of the children, grab their lulavs, and eat their esrogim in the simcha of the day. They were so overwhelmed getting the last day of Sukkot. One of the signs of simcha was taking the kids' lulav and eating the kids' esrog. Okay, maybe it's not our style, but that's what they did back then in order to celebrate.
Not very tasty either.
Not very tasty either. Maybe the esrogim were different. So,
but if they outside the midrash, they're only chayav one day, then this was already used, so they don't have no more use for the lulav and esrog.
True.
So I mean, if it's not, I don't think it's the same. It may not necessarily be like we think. You're destroying the person's lulav and esrog. It may well be.
But it is my property. It's still my.
Okay.
It's still my thing, right? It's still. I still own it. I may want to turn it into a nice besamim, but at the end of the day, it's still mine. So we have a machlokas.
It's not a $50 thing.
Correct, 100%. So we have here a machlokas. What happened here in the Mishnah? What is going on? So Rashi says that Hagadolim Shomtim Esluvei Akatanim Miyadei Bishvi. On the seventh day, they would grab the lulav from the kids. V'ochud Esrogim, eat their Esrogs. Shel Tinokos, of the children. This was the Simcha Sayom. It was understood that people did this b'shem Simcha, and everybody had a certain idea. We're going to return to this later.
Is Rashi implied this consent by the person who owns it?
There's a general understanding. There's a general mechila that exists at that time that everybody understands.
So I'm even if I'm not mocha.
Even if you're not mocha, you're mocha. Something like that. Comes Tosus and says, "V'yesh l'lmod mikan la'osan bachurim shirochvim besusim likras chasan." We think that good chasan shtick is that they come out with his basketball jersey from high school, or they have other types of things. Back then, they jousted on horses. That's what he did with the chasan. That was a real wedding. They would get on horses and they would joust. V'nilchamim zayim zeh. In the course of a joust, I can imagine much worse things could happen. But at least you're going to tear somebody's clothing. Besides poking their eye out. The Korim Bigdol Shachavero, or Mekalka Lo Suso, or I damaged his horse. Peturin Shekach Nahagu Machmas Simchas Chasam. In the course of Simchas Chasam Mekal, it's understood that if you're going to duel, you're going to be damage somebody and you're going to be exempt from paying. Comes Tosus again. You read the Mishnah wrong. Listen to this. Ela miyad klomer la'alter. Miyad means immediately. Immediately, hatinokos shomtin lulavei atzman. They threw down their lulavs. Mitoch harava lefish haluv aruch v'sochim b'vesogeim ha'och. And they ate their own esrog. So says Tosos, this mission isn't a proof for anything. The kids would eat their own esrogim. Miyad doesn't mean from the hand, but it means immediately. And therefore there's no proof at all, says Tosos. So this is what we find in the Gemara and the Rishonim. So now let's come to Purim. Comes the Tshuvas of the Ma'ari Mintz, one of the Rishonim and Siman Tav Zayin. This Tshuva of the Ma'ari Mintz is famous for another reason, because this is the Tshuva where the Ma'ari Mintz lays out the heter for cross-dressing on Purim. It's usher to cross-dress, lo silbash kevesem mas isha, but the Ma'ari Mintz begrudgingly allows it l'shem simchas Purim. We've discussed this in the past when it comes to dressing up on Purim, and the Ramah begrudgingly quotes the Ma'ari Mintz. People think that they don't know what the Ma'ari Mintz says, so they think the Ramah says you can do whatever you want on Purim to dress up. But the Ramah is giving a limud schus for those who do. It's improper to cross-dress on Purim. So at the end of that discussion regarding Simchas Purim, we're going to be makel for this reason. So the Ma'ari Mintz writes as follows. He says, V'od nimsa b'tshuva shikasav Rabbeinu Tuvia b'shem Riva. He says, I found in a tshuva from Rabbeinu Tuvia to the Riva. Shikol meichel shechot bin habachurim mishum Simchas Purim. That any food that is grabbed by the Bachrim over Simchas Purim, afilu shalo birshus b'shas mikra, Megillah, even if it's not during the time, the reading of the Megillah, Ad Sof Sudas Purim, meaning any time from the day of Simchas Purim, which means, and this is an interesting chiddush, Shehim Beis Leilos V'Yom Echad, which is two nights in one day, we'll return to that later on, Ein Behem Yishum Gezel, there's no stealing, V'Ein Lazmin LeBeisdin, you shouldn't bring him to Beisdin Al-Kacha, B'Yelvad Shal Yasu Shaloka Hogan, even though he did the wrong thing, I'll pee Tobayir against what the communal norms were. So says the Rishonim, that the Bachar comes into your house, he grabs a piece of meat, he grabs a piece of cake, he didn't ask you for it, he essentially stole fruit from you. You don't take him to Beis Din, you don't stop him on Purim. Harisha Kosov Shibizman, Shibizman Ein Bo Bishum Gezel. He says, at this time of the over Purim by the Suda, he says, there's no Gezel. Aval Kodem Lekain, Bekain Acher Kain Yeshu Bishum Gezel. It would be Aser. V'Overal Lo Sigzol, you're stealing B'Kamakum Bizmano, in the time of Simchas Purim, Lo Ikri Gezel, Kevin She'eno Osa Almanas Ligzol. I'm not doing it in order to steal, but overall, he says, I'm doing it, laharviach, or to make money, el mishum simchas purim, everyone's being labedik and running around and taking and running and doing. Hachinami nidon didan lo shna, kim she'en miskav l'niyuf. And therefore, also when it comes to the cross-dressing on Purim, he says, when a person cross-dresses on Purim, it's not because he wants to do something inappropriate, it's just done in the frivolity of the day.
See, I can understand in the frivolity of the day, because the cross-dressing itself has things, at least the original its essence about at least to try and pretend you're something you aren't.
Correct. So okay.
But how do you get around the low tigzo? That if I take your property, what's that going to do that I'm trying to be happy?
Okay.
Because the other one I can see just fitting into the basic
theme of the day.
The theme of the day, and it's not the intent to cross to at least the people say it wouldn't be us or anything.
Good. Fine. So let's turn now to why it works. He doesn't discuss why it works. The Achronim are going to discuss why they think it works. So. There is a side of the halacha by the Rama who brings the Yeshomer in Siman Tafresh Sarivav that this is allowed, that you're putter, and the Lavush writes this in the Matan Mosher, the Kiva Eger, the Mishabura. Why does this work? So the first reason is brought by the Mahari Brin, cited in the Darkei Moshe. The Darkei Moshe, and also the Bach, and the Knesset Hagadola, and the Emek Sukkos all say that it works off of Hefker based in Hefker. That the Batei Din made everybody's stuff essentially hefker on Purim, meaning the Beis Din saw, the Batei Din saw how people were acting on Purim, how people were going around and being labedik and making frivolity and chopping things and taking things by the suitors. So they were metaken that the nizak, the person who is taken from, can't bring to Beis Din because they said it's become such a part of the day in their generation, in the days of the Rishonim. All the Batei Dinim simply said, we're not going to see cases in this because it's just part of the day and how the day works.
It's like gold tigzo.
What?
It
could be in Shemayim that you have what's
which I hope people are concerned about.
For sure. You're just saying that we're not going to see you in Beis
Din.
We're not going to see you in Beis Din. Now, the Hesoros Tshuva and the Tshuvas of Evan Shom and the Aznidbru say that it works based on Mechila. It's a mechila that not just for the basin, but all the balabata and the people who it's taken from simply understand. So the Ma'ari Mintz and the above poskim note that the Hetra only applies for the night of Purim, the daytime, and the next night after the Suda. This is an interesting sheet in the Rishonim. I don't think we find this anywhere else, that there's an inyan, and this also fits into the minhag of Klal Yisrael. Everybody knows that the Suda continues into the night. Nobody stops their Suda by Shkia. The Suda continues into the night. And we see here in the Rishonim, all the way by the Ma'ari Mintz, all the way going back to the generations before, that there's some understood aspect that the Simcha of Purim extends into the next day. A very interesting shita, which I think is certainly part of the culture of Purim.
The people celebrate Shushan Purim.
So I asked, the other night I was with Rabbi David Mandelbaum, who's a very big Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael. He writes many, many Sfarim. So I asked him this question. I said, is this just an extension of Shushan Purim? And he said, no. He thinks based on the way the Rishonim discuss this and it's brought in other Sfarim, that there's something special about Purim. That Purim has this idea that extends further out of the day. And he says it's independent of Shushan Purim. But it's just a very interesting Mari Makam to know in the Rishonim, someone said, the Suda has to be done, Shkia, that's it. We see it's not the case. The Ma'ari Mintz says that the Suda can well extend, and the Simcha of the Suda well extends out.
Should the Rav Suda be in the
So we try to have the robe suited beforehand, but we see that there is, it's certainly not the end of the world. And certainly not to, no one should be held responsible if it doesn't. We see by Shalshus as well, until you end it. But here, it's just interesting, by this Purim, it's the Rabbanan, that we allow it to continue. You would say all these inventions, once you start beforehand, for sure. Okay. So another important caveat is that it seems to be only when it comes to food. Now, the whole source is the Mari Mintz about stealing food. But after the Mari Mintz, the Raman, his final citation of Halacha, doesn't say it only applies to food. And it's clear that the source of the Heter is only regarding food. And the Eliyahu Rabbah and the Mishaburah say, once you make a brach on food that you steal on Purim in such a way, it's not considered something that's an Isser. But I find it just interesting to note that we talk about stealing on Purim, but the whole Heter is in regard to food. It doesn't mean you can walk in somebody's house and, take the Becher off the shelf. It has to be, seemingly, it's only extended to food. But I'm not going to say that on my own, but it seems to be what we see here in the Rishonim. Now, comes the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef cites all of this in Siman Tafrei Tzadi Hei, and he says the Minhag no longer applies. Beis Yosef says, we don't do this anymore. He says, this is the understanding of the Makor Chaim, the Chavos Yair, the Kriyas Chana, the Kovitz Mefarshim in the back of the Rambam, all say the Minhag is not like this anymore. Comes Rav Avadya Yosef and the Chazon Avadya on Purim, and he says, there's no distinction between Purim and other days of the year with regard to liability for damages. And one who causes damage because of the Simcha of Purim is just as chayiv to pay the victim no matter what. So says Rav Avadya Yosef. Comes the Shla in his Perush on Megillah in Sifkat and Tazayin. He says, even though it's okay mi'ikar hadin to act in such a way on Purim, but it's not midas chasidus. He says it's not the right thing to do if you can avoid such a thing. And this is what the Eliyahu Rabbah says, the Mishnah Berurah as well. So, again, there may be a heter in such a case, but certainly it is not something that is smiled upon by the halacha. It's certainly not in the spirit of the halacha as well. That is our opening statement. Let's turn now to two different aspects. We kind of bunch everything together. I want to divide now hezek, damages on Purim, and stealing on Purim, hezek and other isurim. Let's break them down. So first we have the Machlokas Rishonim, Rov Rishonim, as we saw, the Rama says there's a Patur, and also uses the reasons of Mechila, Hefker, Basin, Hefker, things like that. Comes the Russian Sukkot, he rules according to the Maharshal, the Amshul Shlomo, like the second toast, there's no putter when it comes to damages, because everything we said before was more about stealing, so now we're going to turn to damages. When it comes to damages, says the Rush, no such heter, maybe when it comes to stealing, but not damages, and he discusses the famous horse crashes of the wedding ceremonies in the days of the Rishonim. And he says he doesn't agree. Comes the Bach and says the Rush is being machmer over the Ikar Adin. Another says the Rush was talking about other types of issues as well, so it's not good what the Rush holds. Now, what if it happens b'kavana? Let's say, purposefully, I want to damage somebody on Purim. And I'm doing it b'kavana because I want to hurt the person. Can I? And I'm going to be exempt from such a case. So there's a long tshuva from the Tshumas Hadeshen Chelek Beis in the Ksavim. It's not in the normal Tshumas Hadeshen from Rav Moshe Yisrael, it's in the second edition. So in Siman Reish Yud, he has the case of the following issue. It is Simcha, it's Hoshanas, and they're going around by the Hoshanas, and the person shoves the guy in front of him, the guy falls to the ground and he breaks his shoulder. Okay? Rough. And the Nizak claims that the Mazik, the person who was damaged, claims that the person who damaged him already had a problem with him. He said, I'm going to get you, I already have it out for you. He says, I want to be paid. So the Mazik claims, no, I was doing Hoshanas like everybody else. Everybody was getting into it and whatever. I tripped and I didn't mean to hurt him in such a way. So in the context of the answer, the Truman suggestion says that if there was any kavana whatsoever to knowingly hurt another Jew, then there's no patur whatsoever, even if it was done at a time of simcha. If there's any malicious intent ever in any of these things, there's no patur. It has to be done if there's any patur at all, it's b'simcha, in an innocent way, in no way trying to hurt another person. And this is side of the halacha by the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah as well. The Sefer Mishpatei Alevi writes in Parak Tazayin, he says, if somebody broke somebody's glasses in the course of dancing, like in Simchas Torah, and it fell to the ground, and the guy steps on it, right? Sometimes it happens, the person loses his glasses, so then he'd be putter as well, according to this logic. If I step on the guy's glasses because, I want to hurt his glasses, then you're not a nice person. But on the unfortunate case, which does sometimes happen, if you've been in enough weddings, right? Person's glasses fall off, The guy steps and he breaks the glasses. So technically, in the course of the Simcha, Mi'ikra Din, he would be Pater. Obviously, Vasisa Yashav Atov would have been nice to the guy to pay, 100%. But Mi'ikra Din, why? I didn't know it was there. I was dancing. It was just part of the dancing festivities as well. Then, bodily damages. I hurt somebody bodily. So the Kapos Tmarim on the Gemara in Sukkah, so he says there's no heter at all when it comes to bodily damages. That's only regarding property when we discuss heter. But somebody was physically hurt, there's no such heter. And he says, when a person says, sometimes you can say to a person like, you know, I'll give you permission to tear my garment, the Gemara says. I'll give you permission to ruin this thing. I'm not going to hold you responsible. But that doesn't work when it comes to physical assault. And this is the sheet of the Knesset HaGadola, the Aruch HaShulchan. But the Magen Avraham cites this as one opinion. He says the other opinion as well. It's not clear what he holds. And the Truma Sedeshin says the hetero applies to physical injuries as well, as is the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah. So we see from the Magen Avraham and Mishnah Berurah that even though they even hold that if it's done in the course of the Simcha, and I, you know, turn around and I smack somebody in the face, but it was all in no jest and all in, you know, not paying attention, so then I would be putter as well, Mi'ikra Din. So again, we saw that Rav Avadya Yosef didn't like it. Let's turn to other Lamaisa issues when it comes to this heter on Purim. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Tafrei Sadi Hey Sif Katzin Yud Beis in the name of the Bach that any very significant damage is also not exempted as well. If I do something really serious, a lot of money, you can't walk away scot-free. It's not going to work as well. And the customary damages of Purim are limited to small claims, nothing major. And the Tshuvas HaBach that we quoted before says that after the toasts at weddings, they had a very interesting minhag. They would make a toast at the wedding in the days of the Bach, and they would take the glass and they would throw it against the wall. That's how they celebrated after the toast. They would take the glass and chuck it against the wall.
Like the Greeks.
What?
Like the Greeks.
Apparently a Greek custom as well. Right. So
maybe that's where they got it.
So what's going to happen in such a case? What would your mother tell you? Don't do that. You've got to poke out somebody's eye. And of course, that's what happened. Took a glass, threw it against the wall, the shards went flying, and it injured somebody's eyes. So the Bach says, there's no patur. There's no patur. Are you out of your mind? The guy can't see now? You're not going to pay him for it? That's crazy. He suggests that the patur only applies to property damage, not bodily damage as well. And he rejects this based on what we saw in the Rishonim. And then he says, it's a hezek gadol. Even a great damage, b'shas simcha, is going to be chayv as well. You can't hurt somebody's eyesight and then say, ah, I'm sorry, I was at a wedding. It's a big guy has to be paid for what happened. Another story, l'maisa, of Yosef Masas, who is the Rav in North Africa, writes in the Mayim Chayim. He writes that in North Africa, they would recite the piyutim on Shavuos. They would give out different lines to the people in shul. And they're all the Sephardim love reciting piyutim and all the different poems, and they would go around the shul handing out, like we do on Simchas Torah, Tahareis, all those different things. So the person who got the last line would get a very chashuv reward. What was his reward? Like the end of the Super Bowl, they would dump a big thing of water on you when you're the person who got the last line of this piyut. So one year, the person who got the last line was wearing very, very nice silk clothing, very, very fancy clothing, and it ruined everything. The whole outfit was ruined. They dumped the whole Gatorade thing on him and ruined the whole thing. New minhag next year. No, not true. Don't say that. So, I don't want to get in trouble. So he took people to Beis Din and he asked to be repaid. These guys ruined my beautiful outfit. So in response, Rav Yosef Masas says that this is the minhag. This is the minhag. You knew about this. Why did you take the last line if you knew this is what people do? You knew, for hundreds of years in North Africa, they dumped water on the guy who got the last line. You knew that was going to happen. You think they were going to do it to you because you wore you know, a $3,000 suit to shul, so they're going to exempt you? No, the last guy gets water dumped on him. However, he says, it's only with acceptable practices. You can't go overboard. But he said, in this case, you know, you knew it was going on, and therefore, the person would not be held responsible. If you want to know more about this minhag, so you can look in the Sefer Noheg Bam, which is all about the minhagim of North Africa, by a Rebbe of mine from Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Kfir Baruch Mevarach Tadon. He has a whole history about how this minhag developed as well. The Yam Shel Shlomo says in Bava Kama, there's no heter on Purim for someone who is shikar kalot. There's two levels of drunkenness in halacha. There's being drunk, and then there's shikar kalot, where without going into the details of what Lot did, that you're so drunk that you are literally out of your mind and have no awareness of what you are doing. So in such a case, says the Alshul Shlomo, Chazal had no intention that someone who is totally meshuga and totally out of his mind to have a patur in such a case. that person is, you know, that's not simchas purim. That's, you know, damaging yourself and damaging other people. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in two places as well. Look here in the last source in Tafri Tzadi Hey. Od kasav diyesh omim dim hezek echad es chaver b'simchas pur patzer l'sham. Right? We know that if you hurt someone, you're going to be patzer from pain. Ad kam l'shon of the Ramah. Kolomar, shalom kivein l'hazek, ala kivein l'smoach. If it's for simcha, mikoach ha-simcha haziku. B'kar kasvu ze b'choshen mishpat. We already wrote this in Choshen Mishpat. V'achshav b'avaroseinu harabim. Arva kol simcha. Now this has gotten involved in all the simcha. V'inonu nogin l'smoach kol kach ad shov l'hazek. How people don't know how to be happy until they hurt another person. V'lechein achshav k'shehizek chai v'shal. Nowadays, he says, you have to pay. You have to pay. V'afilu b'zman ha-kadmon chai b'nezah b'guf. And even in the olden days, you'd be chai if you hurt a person's body. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, at the end of the day, you have to pay, unless the person is now openly mochel you. The right thing, al pi halacha, is to pay the person regardless of what's going on. Let's just wrap it up and discuss Shar Isurim, other Isurim in the context of being drunk, and if you're responsible. So we're not going to go into it, but if you want to see more about it, Rabbi Daniel Feldman, in his book, The Right and the Good, has a whole chapter about telling someone to hitting Bederach Schok. Your person's boxing and fighting. I give you permission to hit me, right? So your people are being rambunctious, and you already have permission to hit me. I said it outright. Are you going to be responsible if I hit the person at the end of the day? And I really hurt him. But that's not for right now. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Nahalicha Shlomo, and the Moadim, and page Shin Mem Gimel. So he says there's no heter to embarrass another person on Purim. Being drunk doesn't give you permission to embarrass another Jew. And he explained, right, the Gemara Megill Dav Zayin, the famous story of Rabba and Rav Zera, that Rabba shechted Rav Zera, right, and he had to bring him back to life the next day, and then he had to invite him for the Purim Suda the next year, and he said, you know, miracles aren't going to happen twice. I think I'll eat in separate homes this year. So, Sezer Shlomo Zalman Arach, what does it mean he shechted him? He embarrassed him. That's what it means. He embarrassed another Jew. We know that embarrassing another Jew is like abizrahu of Ritzicha. It's like a form of murdering someone. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah writes in the Shari Tshuva. So he says, that's Pshat in the Gemara. He didn't actually murder him. It means that he embarrassed him in a terrible way. And therefore we see that this is a problem even on Purim. A similar sentiment is expressed in the Yaznidbaru, the Moedim Uzmanim, in the Chelik Beis, Kupsari Aleph, Yechav Adas, all the Svarim as well. And in the Mishnah Bura of Rav Nevin Saul, he writes something very, very strange. I don't understand this comment. He writes in the Mishnah Bura of Yitzhak Yikarei in Tafrei Tzadieh, he says, Mi sh'alul lavo de havanas panim, o shar averos. A person who gets drunk and may come to embarrass another person, or other isurim, tov shishtaker bitsina. He should get drunk in private. I don't understand the logic so much. That a person should drink and stay by himself in a room, in that case, we'll just rely on the Ramah and drink something and go take a nap. It's hard for me to understand. So a friend of mine, Rabbi Eitan Schnall, so he points it out, that Rabbi Nevinsol makes a similar comment in the Sefer Yushalayim B'Moadeha. And he adds, you should close yourself in a room and drink so you don't have a place to hurt anybody else. And if you don't have a place to drink like that, then don't drink at all. But Tzarachi, and why you have to go to such an extent, you know, to put yourself in a room to drink, just don't drink. I don't understand Rabbi Nevinsol's logic so much. Last point, and that is that the Gemara Megillah Dav Zayin tells us about Rabba and Rav Zera, and that whole episode as well. So it seems to be that, you know, a murder on Purim. Is the person responsible? So the Gemara in Erev and Samach Bey says that if a person who is intoxicated does an Aver Sheyesh B'Misa, Mamisa no so. There's no heter of Shikras when it comes to capital punishment. If you murder another person while drunk, you are held responsible by Beis Din, says the Gemara in Erev.
How's that strong?
What?
How's that straw work if you're drunk?
Oh, whatever the responsibilities would be, whatever the...
assuming that straw is...
Well, you could warn him. You could say, I know I'm going to do it anyway, and he goes, murder.
He doesn't always say that's straw.
I'm not sure if we view that, according to the Rambam, I don't know if we view that as... I'm not sure.
Okay.
But we do have assuming a tshuva in the tour. The tour writes, at the very end, in some tough chaf, I didn't bring it over here, but the tour writes that there's a tshuva to a gon. I'm pretty sure it doesn't mean like the gonim. I think he means like a later Rav, about a person who killed his friend on Purim while drunk. So after going back and forth about maybe, you know, it was Purim, what should we do? I'm not sure. So the tour concludes, Bi'ata rabosai, altisnu yad leposhim liyos kol ish tsoer, kimisala hayor azikim, v'yomer shogeg hayisi. He says, if we don't deal with this person, what's going to happen in the future. Each person is going to go and get drunk and commit terrible things and say, "B'shogeg, I was drunk, and therefore I shouldn't be held responsible." So they wrote already in the days of the Rishonim, you cannot. There's no such heter. He says, even though in Lamdus you can show me a heter purim, he says you cannot set. It's l'migdar milsa. We need to set a precedence for all time that no one should ever think that if you get drunk and murder another person, then that's going to be okay and you're going to get off scot free. So based and punished this person in order to make an example out of his conduct. I don't know what the punishment was. Either they brought out capital punishment even after the Sanhedrin wasn't existent anymore. There are some cases in Jewish history, or they gave him some other punishment as well. Regarding drinking and driving on Purim, the Sefer called Meir Nesivim. He discusses this even as well. And we should all have a safe and labedik Purim with no nezik and no damages, with shalom for all of Klal Yisrael.